The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Welcome to another episode of This Is My Bourbon Podcast. I am your host, Perry. I should probably get on the mic because I've been doing this for 155 episodes. And with me this week, after a hiatus, and after we killed that turkey co-host that was on last week for no apparent reason, it's Swan!
What's up, guys?
Hey, buddy.
Hey.
I'm so happy that you're back.
Me too, man.
In the hot seat. I'm sorry, I heated it up for you.
That's fine.
It's fine. Like, it's like seat warmers in a car. Except a lounge chair. Anyway.
Yep. Same concept.
It's a club chair, I guess. Yep. I don't know. What do you call that?
I don't know.
Doesn't matter. Let's move on.
Or something.
Hey, if you are new to the show, thank you so much for tuning in for the very first time. If you are a returning guest, listener, you're not a guest, you're a listener. Hello. Good to see you guys back here again. If you have not yet, please subscribe to the podcast so new episodes come to your podcast feed every single week. And if you have the ability to, please leave us a rating and review. Those help us so much. They go up in the charts a lot. We charted. I haven't even told you this. This is one of the funniest things that's ever happened. In the food category, we charted number 5.
Nice.
In Mexico.
Well,
like 2 weeks ago.
Bourbon is food.
Bourbon is, hey man. I mean, it was like the closest thing I could find to the, you know, what I figured we would be called.
Yeah.
When I set the whole podcast thing up. I mean, we're in like crafts and hobbies and whatnot, but
yeah.
Leisure, arts,
food.
We're in there. I think it, you know, we're part of that.
We're doing great.
Also, if you are also not a, I've said also plenty of times, if you're not yet a patron of the show too, that is one of the things that helps us out the most on a week-to-week, month-to-month basis. You can become a patron of the show at patreon.com/mybourbonpodcast for as little as a dollar a month. Really helps support the show, gets us some bottles to review, also gets us the ability to advertise some. We get to travel a little bit more as well. I'm withdrawing the Patreon balance right now. As well as I'm talking about this, I need it.
Mm-hmm.
I need the Patreon money. It helps a lot. Okay, it helps us a whole lot. Pays for stuff like medical bills as well. So yeah, good stuff. Before we get to flying blind, one more thing, and then we'll talk whiskey and we'll drink and everything. Okay, two more things. Our pick is in. Our new riff pick, Riffmas. A Riffmas story, excuse me. If you are one of those people who pre-ordered a bottle, please look for an email where you can find shipping information for the bottles themselves. Or if you're local and you haven't let me know how you're going to pick it up, do it so you can get your dang bottles.
Because if not, we will drink them.
Or sell them.
Or drink them.
Yeah, drink them more than likely.
Yes.
But anyway, it's a really cool looking bottle. The wax is awesome on it as well. But yeah, the other thing too, I just found out yesterday as a recording, a couple days ago, as of this episode coming out, that I get to be a part of this year's inaugural Repeal Day Expo, hosted by the one and only Fred Minnick. I'm going to be leading a panel with the folks from the Spirits of French Lick, Penelope Bourbon, and Four Gates Whiskey, leading a panel on the art of barrel finishing. I am really, really excited to be able to do this. I had a phone call with Fred yesterday, and I was talking to him about some opportunities and stuff that I was interested in. And he was like, well, why don't you lead a panel for the expo? I was like, Okay. I'm happy to do that. So if you guys have not yet gotten tickets for it, they are $20 a piece. You can find the ticket link below in the description for this episode. That's all I'm going to get. I'm done with all the stuff at the top now. Let's fly blind, Swan.
Bourbon time.
Fly blind with me. That was a very sad take on Come Fly With Me.
Yeah. Yeah. I moved past it.
I wasn't going to let you.
Ooh.
Oh. By the way, this is where I usually blind Swan with something. Get his palate ready. Get him going for the episode.
This is just caramel apples, man.
A little bit of chocolatiness. Some char as well. Oh, man, I love the nose.
This is really good.
I love the nose.
All right.
Ooh. Brown sugar cinnamon.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh. Oh. Does it seem at all familiar to you?
A little bit.
I'd hope so, because this is our pick. This is Rhythmus story.
This is good. This is going to be a good Christmas bourbon.
I love this new riff. I like it better than I did when we picked it. There was like a sharpish note on the original sample that we got, mm-hmm. where it was kind of like, you know, like we really loved it when we picked it.
Yeah, but it was fruitier when we picked it.
I think it's rounded out by this point too.
Yeah,
106.4 proof, like 4 years and a month old. So.
Yeah.
It's good, man. I'm happy with it.
Me too.
So, glad people get to try this one. So,
yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing kind of what the response is to it.
Yeah. I want to do, I can't remember when I talked about this, but I want to do kind of like a virtual tasting with it, if people are interested in doing that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we'll get like a Zoom call going or something with, you know, 50 people. I think it'd be fun. I think it'd be a lot of fun to all sit around and crack it and tell some of the stories behind picking it. And I'm just excited, man.
Yeah, and I hate that I love the nose on this so much. I would just, I mean, like, that's my favorite part.
Oh.
I want the palate to be like this amazing thing. And it is. But like the nose is just
to die for, darling.
Yeah, that.
Oh, I love it. I love it. I can't wait for you guys to try it, too. Some boxes are going out this week. I know that there's some pickups happening in Nashville as well, thanks to the Nashville Bourbon Society, of course, for letting us be a part of this. And, that's it. Swan, what the heck are you doing? What are you doing with your life? No, I'm just kidding. What have you been drinking recently?
Recently, honestly, not much. I've had a little Old Granddad 114, and that's pretty much it.
Why'd you have Old Granddad 114, Swan?
Blended it with something that we're going to have later, and I tried it solo to kind of see what it would taste like.
Yeah, we're going to talk about these two products a little bit later and the confusion that I had behind the packaging of it.
Yeah.
Some of it just doesn't make any sense to me. Anyway, I've had a fair few things recently. I got another bottle, finally, of C918, Elijah Craig Barrel Proof.
Nice.
Got another A120, too.
Also nice.
Joseph Brazo sent me Booker's 2020-02, which is freaking awesome. It's like really good Booker's. Made me remember why I love Booker's so much. Almost sounded like I said Booger's. I cleaned up the studio, so I can't really remember. Oh, had plenty of turkey for Turkey Day.
Oh, I'm
how was
sure.
How was your Thanksgiving?
It was fine. We went and picked up. No, I mean, seriously, that's all I've got to say about it. I work a very high amount of like exposure job, like a high exposure job. So I didn't really do much.
Yeah.
We went and picked up some leftovers from Diane's grandparents, took them home, heated them up, ate those, and that was it.
Yeah.
That was the whole thing.
Well, that's okay.
Yeah.
Stay safe, man. You know?
Absolutely.
Oh. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
I'm still trying to find the rhythm. I had it. I feel like I had it, and I kind of lost it there for a second.
But no, you've been just drinking around, kind of looking at your collection. I have.
I've also, you know, been trying to protect myself from the COVID since there is a tiny baby here in this house. And she's really good, also. I freaking love her. She smiles at me all the time. I can get her just big old smiles out of her. Being a dad's pretty cool, man. It's really cool.
I bet.
Let's talk about some news.
And there's plenty of it, too.
Let's talk about one of the coolest things ever. Good friend of the show, the mastermind behind Beagle Rare himself, Matt Porter of ADHD Whiskey, won the world's top whiskey taster competition from the Bardstown Bourbon Company. First place, $20,000. Just incredible. I'm so proud of Matt. I talked to him on the phone earlier today about it, and I had actually texted him while he was at the competition. I was like, hey, how's everything going? And by the time I texted him, he already knew that he had won.
Yeah.
And he couldn't tell me. And so, I mean, that was like 2 weeks ago, right? And so when I was talking to him on the phone today, he was like, did you know when you texted me? And I was like, no, I had no idea. I was just texting you to check in with you, man. But could not have been a more well-deserved winner.
Yeah.
Honestly. I think that he has put in the work and the time and the effort to just be awesome at what he does. And he's so enthusiastic about it. And just a genuinely great person. And he did something awesome. And I can't say awesome enough.
Yeah.
But so cool. He'll be back on the show sometime in the near future so we can pick his brain about all that.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Oh my gosh, Swan. The time has finally come. Do you know what that time is?
What's that time?
It's 6:17 p.m.
Is that, yes.
You know what that means? That it's time for us to talk about the first official whiskey release from Castle and Key.
I don't know the correlation between 6:17 p.m. and Castle and Key, but I'm here for it.
Well, it's on E.H. Taylor's gravestone.
Oh.
That's the only time that we can talk about new releases from... Oh, and it's 6:18, so now we can't talk about it anymore.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah.
Anyway, so Castle and Key's Restoration Rye Whiskey is going to be released this coming weekend for pickup at the distillery only. For now, it'll go to stores eventually. $40 a bottle. I'm so excited, man.
What do you think about the bottle?
I'm not crazy about the bottle. I don't think that... I don't like it that much.
So
it's a little much.
Before Marianne left, they said that they had hired a designer that was like very well renowned, spent lots of money making sure this is a very pretty bottle. And I'll be honest, the press release did not do a very good job showing it off. Have you zoomed in on it?
I have not, but well, I have now. Oh. Hmm. It's okay.
It's very Castle and Key, but their whole thing's been understated, back the label, see it through the, you know, all that. And this is like...
It's a little over-designed.
It's a lot. But I will say the bottle itself is very pretty, just the label.
Yeah.
So just busy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I think they could have done something much less with it that would have made it look just a lot better.
That being said, the thing I'm most excited about this, the price point.
I'm sorry, man.
Peerless, half the price point, same age.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's just insane.
Yeah. Age statement on the bottle is 3 years old. Clocks in at 103 proof, was about 160 barrels. No, 60 barrels, excuse me, that were used for blending. The youngest is 3 years, 5 months, and the average age is 3 years, 10 months.
I'm very excited.
I can't wait. We're actually going to review it next week.
Nice. Nice.
We're gonna review it next week. So I feel like this is the culmination of something that we've been waiting for since the podcast started.
Yeah.
And I know you kind of came into it a little bit later, but like hearing about this fledgling distillery that was creating something on the hallowed grounds of where Colonel E.H. Taylor used to make his own whiskey, and it was modeled after the process that he created his own with.
Mm-hmm.
It's like it's finally here.
It is, yeah. Yeah, and then, you know, people have been like, oh, my stuff is aging at Castle and Key.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Bohemian bourbon. It's fine, you know, but like this is like the tried and true process put to the paces, and I'm excited.
I am too. I'm just ready. I'm ready for it. There is a new initiative being put forth by Maker's Mark and Chef Edward Lee to help out the food industry right now as we're going through another spike in the coronavirus cases. They're releasing a bottle called the Community Batch.
Mm-hmm.
107.7 proof bourbon. It says a nose of caramel and almond, dark fruit, cherry, chocolate, and spice, with cured tobacco, dried fruit, and baking spice on the palate.
All sounds fantastic.
Sounds good to me.
Yeah.
Only available through the Lee Initiative. They're hosting special events across the country. Minimum contribution for a bottle begins at $70. And you can pre-order it. There's a virtual event apparently going on tonight as well. But there are some locations, at least in Lexington, where you can go and grab bottles. I kind of want to grab one of these and see what's up with it.
Yeah, I'm all for anything that's kind of pointing some fingers back at the community.
Uh-huh.
And, I mean, anything that's going to help out the food industry right now. Like, I don't eat out much, ever. And, like, the past couple of weeks, I've been like, I'm just going to eat out. And then when I, you know, do their pickup service, I'm just going to tip.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Like, I mean, the whole point of tipping is somebody, you know, spent their time underpaid to help you. But if I roll up and I'm gone in 2 minutes,
mm-hmm.
it's not much of an inconvenience, but you still need to. You need to tip heavy. If you were going to normally tip 10%, do 20.
Oh, yeah. For sure.
At least.
Oh, no. It's sold out in Lexington.
Oh, yeah. I'm pretty sure it's sold quick.
It's not sold out in Louisville.
Road trip.
It includes a barbecue for two.
Nice.
For $85.
That's actually been a big thing recently, is eating out at a certain place that's usually going to charge you quite a bit, and then at the end of it, you get a bottle, like they did at Beaumont.
Uh-huh. I love it. So cool. Anyway, I'm going to keep that tab open. Let's see what else. Oh, new bottles that are coming out. More new bottles. You alerted me to this one today.
Yes.
The new Woodford Reserve Masters Collection, which is clocking in at their typical 90.4 proof. And the oldest product that's going to be in there is 17 years old.
17 years old.
This is like the year for 17-year-old bourbons.
It is, but it's also, this one's more significant than the Master Distiller. He's been the Master Distiller now for 17 years.
Yes.
This was put in the barrel the year he started as the Master Distiller at Woodford Reserve.
Mm-hmm. Very cool.
Yes.
Very, very cool.
A little confusing. Again, kind of pressing at the, going at the press release here. It's in a 70 CL.
I just think that we caught wind of it from the international market before we heard about it from the American market. Because I'm pretty sure I saw, you know, I can't remember who posted it. It might have been Grease in the podcasters group. Posted a link in the normal Woodford Masters Collection
bottle.
The
pot reserve looking bottle?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
So it let me pull it up real quick. These websites. They need me to put my age in.
Are you old enough?
Barely.
Good.
Huh. It is listed as 70 CL on their website.
Well, I mean, I was thinking about it today. I was like, look at some of the major master distillers. Maker's Mark's everywhere. They don't change hardly anything about their packaging. Mm-hmm. Beam's got Centauri that distributes all their stuff for them. Turkey's everywhere. Buffalo Trace is everywhere. I don't ever think of Woodford with any of their stuff except for the most recent thing that they've done, which is the Woodford Baccarat that mm-hmm. was huge in duty-free shops.
That's what I was just about to say. So, and actually, you're seeing now plenty. I say plenty, but I mean, it's, you know, you go into a liquor shop and it's one bottle.
It is one bottle, but I mean,
it is more than just duty-free now, though.
Yeah, but think about it this way. I mean, Kentucky maybe got, or like at least Lexington got like 3 bottles of Dry State, and it's got roughly the same amount of bottles as Baccarat. And I've seen that Baccarat like 5-6 times.
Way more than, I think I've only seen Dry State, I mean, aside from when I got to drink it with Dixon, humblebrag. Yeah. I don't think that I've seen it in person more than once.
Yeah.
So people just aren't buying Woodford the way that they're buying other bourbons. No. So maybe this is their game. Maybe this is what they're trying to do.
Yeah, and there's, you know, a lot of people that are forward. Skeptical because they've put out just some not great special releases in the past. So it's like, is it worth the investment of paying for, you know, 16, 17-year-old bourbon? Yeah.
I don't know, man. I don't know. We'll see. I definitely would like to reach out to Woodford and see if we can receive a sample of this one.
Yeah.
Do you want to talk about this Boone County release, too?
Yeah, I just pulled it up.
Yeah, please do, because you told me about it, and I actually have not been able to find it anywhere.
So they put out their rye this past year.
Yeah.
And then the year before that, they put out just their regular small batch.
Mm-hmm.
They kind of have ditched the 1833 single barrel. I've not been able to find much on it. And then recently, they just posted on their Instagram, the only place we could find it, now available at the distillery, stop in and grab a bottle, limited 2 per customer, of a very limited release, 320 bottles, a barrel strength, 114 proof, small batch bourbon whiskey, finished in Old Rosso sherry casks.
You did send me that.
Yes.
Now I remember.
But, I mean, that's super interesting.
Yeah.
That's a, you know, cash strength finishing. That's nuts. So I'm into that.
I'm all about it.
Yeah. Now, granted, 320 bottles, it's probably gone.
We can reach out.
Yeah.
We may as well see if we can get a sample.
The color on it's ridiculous, though.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. I love the color on it.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, Oloroso finished bourbon.
It is.
Here for it, man.
Yeah. And I mean, I don't know. I'm just here for sherry stuff. Port's fine, but like sherry knocks it out.
We need to try. So when I was up in Newport mm-hmm. getting our barrel and all the bottles, I stopped in, of course, at Party Source. As you do. I was there. And I also got some Lee's, as you do.
Yes.
And I picked up, it's sitting in front of you, this little 350 mil pack of different Balvenie releases.
Yes.
And one, I think one of them's a sherry cask finish.
Yes. The Double Wood has got a sherry cask finish and an American oak finish.
Right.
Yes.
I really want us to try that on an episode. Maybe next week. Wait, I don't know what your schedule is like.
Next week we're reviewing.
Oh, next week we're reviewing the Castle and Key.
And then,
how quickly I forget.
Also, the 1 week before, like the last week we're going to be able to record this month, we've got to do Best of 2020.
We could push that until the first of the year.
Yeah, that's fair. We
do you want to? Do you want to go ahead and do it?
I've kind of been building my list.
I'm behind.
Yeah.
last year, I started my list in like July.
Yes.
Like just trying to accumulate, in, you know, different different bottles and talking, you know, thinking about them. But this year, I've let all that go.
That's fair.
I've just been like, I'll get to it.
I'll get around to it when I get around to it.
Do you want to try some of this Four Roses?
Absolutely. We'll not say no
it's
to
in,
that.
It's in OESK from your new place of employment.
Yes.
Can I say that?
Yeah, it's all good.
Okay. 10 years, 6 months.
Ooh.
56.3. So what is that? 112.6 proof?
Yes.
Yeah. Let's talk about some barrel craft spirits as well. Have you heard anything about the insanity that is coming from these guys?
No.
So they, this is nuts, man. It's absolutely nuts. They are releasing a new private bourbon series, much like they did with their whiskey.
Okay.
But there are 49 individual releases.
So we got some early.
We got some of the whiskey.
No, here in Kentucky, we got one.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's in, I'm pretty sure it's spelled T-O-J-A-K-I or something like that. But it's like Toju Barrels or something like that.
Let's try to find.
I don't know. I was thinking it was finished in that, but it's just a different kind of wine.
How did you spell it?
I think it's T-O-J-A-K-I. Tojuku. I don't know.
It's not coming up at all.
Something like that. It's weird. I'll take a picture of it. But either way, like, yeah, no, they're finishing in everything.
Yeah.
I guess if you're, you know, sourcing your stuff and you just decided I need to get experimental with how I'm finishing it. Sorry, Jeffersons, move over. The experimental game's going to somebody else. It's crazy.
Hey, man. Daggone it. They really went all out with this. I would read through all 49, but it would be the longest This Is My Bourbon podcast episode ever.
Yes.
So,
and it would just dissolve into me being, ooh, ah, yes.
Just in the background, just going,
yeah.
Shut up. Anyway, very, very cool. I believe we're going to be receiving some samples of these.
Okay.
$109.99 per bottle. I think the proof varies throughout. 150 to 180 bottles per release. Cool stuff.
Is there any specific finishing that you are interested in?
I haven't had time to read through all of these.
Okay.
Maybe I'll try to read through and then reach out to our friends at Barrel and see if we can get specific releases.
Yeah.
As well. There is also news about the newest New Year release from Barrel. This is going to be 113.9 proof with whiskeys ranging from 5, 9, 10, and 11-year-olds. They're all bourbons, of course. And they were distilled in Kentucky, Tennessee, Indiana, New York, Texas, Wyoming, and Colorado.
All right.
All over the shop, man. All over the shop.
Absolutely.
Very cool. I'm excited for this one. I know we're getting a sample of this as well, so you can look forward to a review of this. Might have to, you know, try it before we give our final 2020 lists.
That's fair.
But yeah, man, I can't wait. I'm very excited to get to try this. Oh boy, we have so much news to get through this week. This is what happens when we don't see each other for
lightning round. Let's go.
We are seeing some expansions. Was that a cat or was that you?
That was me.
Oh, okay. We're seeing some expansions at a couple of different distillery visitor centers. Four Roses and Jim Beam. Four Roses is going to be adding a cocktail tasting space and seated tasting rooms. This is crazy. They just got done with renovations. I can't believe that they're going to be doing even more.
But think about this, though. Is this not the perfect time? You have to decrease traffic.
Absolutely. Absolutely it is.
Just throw it on, man.
Yeah. Not finding when it's supposed to be completed, but
it's construction. Even if they give you a date, don't count on it.
It says it's supposed to be completed by the end of 2021. We'll see about that. And with the Jim Beam Visitor Center, basically they've kind of closed it for the time, and it's going to reopen in the summer of 2021, calling it the upgraded experience center. It's going to have the American Outpost, which is going to replace the American Stillhouse, the Kitchen Table, which is inspired by the No family, Beam Made Bourbon, the Fred B. No Craft Distillery, Very cool. It's going to be awesome. I'm excited to see where this new venture takes them. I mean, this is, you know, the anniversary. Was it 225 year anniversary?
Yes.
For Jim Beam?
Yeah. So. However, the one thing I need out of that is if we've got the kitchen table like room, I need to be able to sit on a throne of Booker's boxes. Make it happen,
like,
Jim Beam.
Like the Game of Thrones throne?
Yes.
Oh, I love it.
But just with Booker's boxes.
I'm here for it.
Make it happen.
All right, let's talk about some other releases. George Dickel 15-year single barrel.
Yeah.
$60 a bottle.
Oh, okay. I'm going to change my tone here.
Oh.
Not to throw somebody under the barrel. It's barrel. It's barrel. You know, there's single barrel releases that they put out, like when we do picks and stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, they can get up there, man.
Yeah.
I've seen some at different stores, you know, just across town that have been $80-$90.
Yeah.
And you turn those over, and some of them will say distilled from, you know, distilled in Kentucky, distilled in Tennessee. The ones I've seen in Tennessee are, you know, they're up there in the range. They're 13, 14, 15-year picks for almost twice the price sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, that I think that's a great price point for older Dickel.
Sure. Here's the weird thing about this. The proof is going to be different depending on where you get it from.
Mm.
So it's going to be picks.
Yeah.
But it's going to be anywhere from 80 proof to 104.6.
Why 80?
I'm throwing my hands up. I don't know. I guess because it's supposed to be in line with bourbon standards. Like, it can't be less than 40% alcohol.
Are they trying to compete with Basil Hayden somewhere? What is going on?
I don't know.
Okay.
And at 15 years old, it's not going to offset it that much.
No. I'm starting to lose interest fast in this one.
Yeah, all right. Let's move on then. What do you think about the Four Roses, by the way?
Mm. This is good. Four Roses is one of those that never quite holds up when you have it next to things.
Mm-hmm.
But this one's doing a good job.
I think I would still rather get Small Batch Select.
That's
honestly.
Fair. That's fair.
Honestly. I maintain that's a great product.
Mm-hmm.
It's a shame it didn't come out this year, too.
Yeah. Would have ranked, man.
Yeah, it would have done very well, too. Let me tell you. There are a few new products coming from Clyde Mays as well. A 6-year-old single barrel bourbon, an 8-year-old rye, and a 12-year-old cask strength Alabama style whiskey. That's it. That's all you need to know about those. I don't really care that much. Do you? Do you want to know more?
No.
Okay.
Not really. I've never gone in and thought Clyde Mays is what I want to walk out with.
Yeah, that's true. Tattersall's got bottled and bond bourbons coming out.
Oh, okay. I'm actually kind of interested in those. I like the last one we had.
$50 a bottle. Limited edition for sale in Minnesota only. Yeah, never mind. Man, we have a lot of releases to talk about, too. Oh, there's a new Rogue product? No, thank you. No, thank you. It's a single barrel, 96 proof, $80. Styles and ages vary.
Yeah, I've seen some that are finished in stout barrels.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
I do love Rogue Dead Guy Ale. Rogue Dead Guy Ale.
Yeah.
It's awesome. Buffalo Trace's OFC, 1995. 25 years old, $2,500 a bottle.
If I was going to splurge on one, it would be that one. But probably still not going to do it. I'll go half in with Kurt since it's our birth year.
For $2,500?
Yeah.
Hey, man, you do you. You do you. I did, funny enough, I reached out to Buffalo Trace. I was like, hey, can we get a sample of this? They're like, we wouldn't.
Why would we?
We would never do that.
Yeah, do you think we're going to need promotion on this?
They got real personal, too. They said, you're an idiot for even thinking that we would do that
for you. I don't think they did that.
No, you should see the emails.
I think they were the 40th email that hour, and they were just like, no.
No, they were very kind about it. They said, yeah. we just don't do that with this. The next two releases from Kentucky Owl. Batch 10 Bourbon, 120.2 proof,
mm-hmm.
$300 a bottle. I smiled. I don't know if you can hear that.
Yeah.
And the final release for the time, you can hear Dixon talk more about this on an episode we did a couple months ago.
Mm-hmm.
of the rye. This is batch 4. This is going to be 112.8 proof, also $300 a bottle. I've had it. It's really, really good. Mm-hmm. It's so good. It might be my favorite Kentucky Owl rye. I'm not even joking about it, Swan.
No jokes.
I'm not yanking your chain.
Good.
Fourgate has a new product coming out as well. It's straight bourbon, 12 years old. Oh man, that math. 122.7 proof. Also $300 a bottle.
Yikes.
What is happening here? This is like, we're going to talk about this here in a minute too before we get to the review. That swath of 15-year-old bourbons that are coming out mm-hmm. at the moment, how bizarre that is. We're going to talk about that before we get to the review.
I got a theory on that one, but you go ahead.
Yeah, sure. But it's like the third one in a row that we just talked about that's $300 a bottle. It's insane, man. It's so much money. It's so much money for a bottle.
Money I don't have.
Yeah, also very true. Here's an interesting one. Corn Trooper United Craft Bourbon. It's a blend of straight bourbons from different places. Balcones, Breckenridge, Hartfield & Company, High Wire Distilling, Kings County, Ula Distillery. Ula. It was named by, doesn't matter. And New Holland in Michigan.
Gotcha.
101 proof, $71 a bottle, only on Flaviar.com.
That's one I'm definitely going to pass on.
Yep, hard pass.
Yeah, I'm just not a big Hartfield and Company fan.
Nope.
Their stuff is very malted.
I'm excited for this. It's finally been announced.
What's that?
Jack Daniel's Single Barrel Proof Rye.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you tried?
I've had one of those.
The barrel proof rye?
No, just the barrel proof. And I think I've had some of their rye, like a select.
Yeah. I'll be honest with you. If I go to a store and they've got a 375 mm-hmm. of the Jack Daniel's Single Barrel Proof for like $35, I'm mm-hmm. picking one up.
Yeah.
They're great.
They are. They're kind of what I want Old Forester to be. They have a lot of the similar absolutely. Notes, you know? And that's fine, except Old Forester has this, like, I'm going to make it slightly, like, creamy.
Just a little different.
yeah. And, like, I don't know. Their stuff gets, like, almost creamy to me. Yeah. And then Jack Daniel's is like, nah. And they just go, they just want to hurt you. And they're vicious and awful, but, like, I don't know. I like bourbon that tries to, like, give you the death grip on the first sip.
I do, too. I'm about it. Non-age stated, $65 a bottle. Of course, it's going to vary in proof. But it is apparently out now.
Nice.
70% rye, 18% corn, 12% malted barley.
Still going to have that like maroon label?
No, it's actually going to be green.
Okay.
So, makes sense. I think we might have talked about this before. Dadgummit, another $300 bottle. Heaven Hill 13-year-old 85th anniversary. Single barrel bourbon.
Yeah, I'm good.
Yep.
Oh, but they did put it in the Heaven Hill 27th case, and I thought that thing is awesome.
Yep. I tried to get a sample.
Nope.
We need to review this one, too. Oh, my gosh! It's another $300 bottle!
Yeah.
What is happening?
They think we got money.
We do need to review this one, because we have a sample of it.
Okay.
15-year-old chicken cock barrel-proof bourbon.
Yes.
104 proof, $1,300 bottles, excuse me, only available in Kentucky. 78.5% corn, 30% rye, and 8.5% malted barley. Sitting up there.
Yeah.
Maybe we should do a bonus episode soon.
Yeah, we could do that.
We may as well. We need to. I mean, we've got to review it. I've had it in my possession for weeks now.
Far too long.
So far, far too long.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Mic drop rye, 4-year-old rye, 108 proof, $85. They've got a bourbon coming out too that was made at Wilderness Trail. I don't know. You just don't care about that one.
No, I've never bought into the mic drop stuff.
I haven't really either. A New Widow Jane? What are we doing? I'm done.
Decadence or whatever?
No, it's called You'll Never Walk Alone.
All right, Green Day.
Move on. Let's talk about this 15-year-old bourbon thing that's happening at the moment.
Yeah, what do you think about it? Obviously, you don't seem like you're thrilled on it.
It's not that I'm not thrilled, but I think that I'm just mostly confused. Honestly. What? It doesn't seem like, because there's no way that all of these individual places went to, assuming this one distillery, mm-hmm. and said, hey, give us your 15-year bourbon. I mean, they weren't at gunpoint. They didn't stick them up like it's in the
stick up.
Hey, yeah. Give me a barrel of bourbon, see?
No, I don't think they did.
I mean, it reads more like this distillery was trying to get rid of this stock.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like it just feels like they threw them out into the market.
To me, it feels like a company that has not been very successful up until this point put out a 14-year this past year and then went from like crap that sits on the bottom shelf that's been there for 6 months to all of a sudden everybody wanted it and it sells through like crazy. And so everybody was like, I want to do that. And so they started doing that. Because Calumet was this crap that no one wanted. And everybody, once they bought a bottle of it, was, you know, gave it a resounding, it's fine. And I don't think their product's bad by any means. It's just no one responded to it the same way they did with the 14-year.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that came out, and all I heard about was Calumet for like a month.
A long time.
Yeah. And that was, I mean, still, that's an allocated bottle.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, you know, I mean, that kind of blow up anybody with any brains is like, well, let's just copy that to some degree. I mean, that's the only thing I can come up with. I mean, think about it. They did it 6 months ago. Now this stuff's coming out.
Yeah. I don't know, man. But I mean, it's not Calumet that's making it. I mean, they source theirs from Barton.
Yeah, it's not. But I mean, just to see another master distiller or blender do something and you're like, well, that worked out fantastic for their entire brand.
Sure.
Maybe I should do something similar. But I got to one up them or 1 year up them. I mean, that just seems like a no-brainer. You know, everyone's going for that ultra age stuff. And Fred called it two, three years ago when he was like, I think we're going to start seeing a surge of age statements come back in.
That was 2018.
Yeah.
I asked him that question.
But I don't think he accounted for the fact that we're going to lose the age statements, see an increase in price, and then slap it back on for a premium. Because, I mean, every time we've seen one of these where it's gone up and, you know, it's had that age statement added into it, or that's like a main focal point on it, quadruple the price.
Yeah.
I mean, especially if it's a smaller distillery.
Yeah. This could kill the bourbon boom.
Oh, it definitely could.
I mean, this could be a grenade that got dropped in the foxhole and just wipes out these products that we have an affinity for.
Yes, but I think it's also separating, you know, bourbon never had like a middle class necessarily. You know, it was just, we have like bottom shelf crap no one drinks and then really good stuff. And then BT kind of set like an upper class, and then the rest of it was middle class, and then there was your bottom shelf. And now it's like, I don't know, they're getting further and further away. Yeah. The upper class is getting into those 300, 400, you know, ultra premium $2,000 bottles. Like, that was never really a thing up until a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
They're just kind of making different classifications in the market. And I think that $300 bottle range is kind of the new one.
I still don't think it's entirely justified.
I don't either.
And I, you know, $300 is definitely a lot for something like Kentucky Owl, where it's, you know, not necessarily age stated and you don't know everything that goes into it. I mean, Dixon does what he does and he is very good at what he does. But I keep coming back to Elijah Craig Barrel Proof.
I keep coming back to Old Fitz in the decanter. I feel like once you break their like model of $10 per year,
yeah,
there's just not quite that return on investment for the bottle you're getting.
Well,
if you're just driving stuff by age statements.
But I don't think that we can use the Old Fitz model exclusively.
No, I mean, just for like the ultra premium stuff.
Yeah.
I feel like it works. So like what? The Heaven Hill 85 is a 13-ish year. 107 proof. I don't know.
$300.
Yeah. Cool. You know, and then they're going to be like, well, you're paying for the case. Wait, are you not paying for the bottle on Old Fitz? That thing's $40.
No,
it's like a club.
Yeah, and I mean, I've always said that you're paying just as much for the bottle as you are what's in it,
yeah.
If not more.
But that's one of those, you know, they put a lot of attention into the packaging. They put a lot of attention into the juice. It's
right.
A, you know, semi-yearly release. And I mean, it's always priced the same way. If it's a 19 year, it's going to be $190. If it's, you know, $150, it's going to be a 15 year. I mean, They keep it consistent for a reason. Once it gets out of that for me, I have a hard time.
Yeah. Yeah. And I also think that there are instances when the mold can be broken. I think it depends on the attention to detail. I think it depends on the craft.
Yeah.
And in some ways, you are buying a piece of art. I hate how that sounds. I know that sounds super, super high, hoity-toity.
No, I mean, I think you could ask a lot of people, you know, that run restaurants that put a lot of attention to detail into their stuff. It's like, you know, you want it to look good.
Yeah.
You don't want it to have the McDonald's thing going on where it's got this beautiful picture that you ordered and then you get this, like, thing.
The cheese is slidden off and the onions were from 3 days ago. And
yeah. I mean, you want it to be a piece
of art. The
burger's
talking to you.
There's a reason that bourbon drinkers... Gosh. There's a reason every bourbon drinker's got a cabinet you can see through.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, they're display pieces.
Yeah.
They're absolutely sure. Display pieces. But
yeah.
in that same vein. They were made for a specific purpose. They were made to be consumed.
Yes.
And save it for sure. If you want to save it, if you want to save a bottle of dry state for a really special occasion and you want to tuck it away in a cellar or leave it, whatever, just do it. Fine. I don't mind. Just drink it.
At some point.
At some point. It doesn't have to be immediately. I'm not suggesting that you go and spend thousands of dollars on a bottle and then turn right around and do shots with it. But it was made for a reason.
It's like the idea of people buying expensive bottles and chugging them in the parking lot. So let's go home now.
Have you seen that Ludacris was on the Fred Minnick show?
No.
This week? Let me pull this up because it's insane. He got the Michter's celebration.
Mm.
And wait. He was doing bottle chugs from it.
Jeez.
Uh-huh. Here it is. Sorry, I gotta pull this up because the description on it is just fantastic. When Luda kicks the bottles back, Fred wasn't quite ready for that. Good stuff. But I mean, it's like a $25,000 bottle of bourbon.
Yeah,
like it's not anything to sniff at.
I've seen it with whiskey. Like the gaudy, like, red and gold box. Yeah. Yeah.
Good looking stuff. But,
yeah.
I mean, at least you drank it.
That's fair, man. That is fair.
But he was doing bottle chugs with it, though. Mm-hmm. So, all good, man. All good. Do you want to do a review?
Yeah, let's do a couple.
Let's do two.
Yeah.
So we are going to be reviewing the two newest Old Overhaul. I had to look for a second. I don't even know what I was about to call them, but it was definitely not Old Overhaul. But these two new Old Overhaul releases.
Mm-hmm.
I can't wait,
dude,
to try these.
They're so good.
Yeah. You got them before I did.
Yes.
Hand delivered by none other than Mr. Todd Cooper.
Mr. Todd Cooper, himself. Yes.
The man, the myth, the legend. Can I before we get into this, I want to talk about the packaging.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're going to say. Get into it. Get mad.
I'm not. No. I'm not really mad. You give me a really awful face. I'm really scared.
Get mad, Perry.
I've never seen you make that face. No, stop. I don't want to get mad right now.
Okay.
I'm happy. I just got hopped up on baby smiles. I don't understand why they didn't put the 114 proof Old Overholt in the old granddad 114 proof bottle. It's the most confusing backwards thing I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
This one, the 11 year 92 proof, 92.6 proof, should have gone in the tall skinny bottle, and the 114 proof should have gone in the smaller squatty bottle.
Does it help to know that they were actually on the same processing line, more than likely, than regular old granddad 114, and they still decided to do it that way?
No, it doesn't help at all. Now I'm pissed.
Because it even says...
No, I'm really mad.
It even says on the back, Frankfurt Clermont.
Oh,
so
come
on! It's literally the Beam Suntory plant in Frankfurt that probably bottled this.
I hate it!
He's mad. I've done my job. I can go home now.
Freaking swan. This it's dumb. They shouldn't have done that.
Yeah.
Dadgummit. I didn't want to get mad about it.
It's just so fun, man.
Oh my goodness. It's not exactly the same bottle, but I mean it's extremely similar.
It's the same wide mouth cork.
It's the same bottle shape. I mean they just have slightly different design choices.
No, they don't. One has a tack strip and one doesn't.
No,
they even
no.
Have the same...
Like the bottle itself.
Oh, yeah. Well, I guess. The label's even the same shape.
Yeah, okay, never mind.
It's the same.
I'm not going to win this one, am
We're I? Mad.
At each other, apparently.
Yes.
For no reason. So, one, as I said, is 11 years old, 92.6 proof. And the other is 114 proof and 4 years old. This one, the 114 proof, is an Ohio-only release for the time being. Next year, apparently, there's supposed to be a wider release.
Yes,
which is exciting, and I'm happy to finally get to review these. We had talked about them months ago, that this was a thing that was happening in the world. So I'm pumped, man. I'm pumped. Which one do you want to start with?
I want to start with a lower proof.
Okay, that was what my instinct was going with, but it's also older.
Yes.
So, yeah, we'll go. We'll go with the lower proof. It begs to be done.
It does. It does.
Kind of soapy.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-oh. It does have like a very specific rye quality to it, though.
It does. Kind of like a dusty corn note to it,
yeah,
as well.
I mean, I would have thought it was a rye whiskey. I don't think I would have thought it was bourbon.
A little bit of honey.
I would say almost honeysuckle.
Yeah.
Actually, because I think that the earthiness is kind of overtaking it, and it leads me to kind of get more of a floral note, I guess, that I would get with a honeysuckle instead of just straight up honey.
Mm-hmm. I will say it's very oily. Look at the sides of your glass, man.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, no kidding. Incredible legs on it.
I'm curious to see what you think about this one.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure how I'm going to feel about it once I get into it, but it doesn't smell particularly old. I don't think. Like, there's not a lot of barrel influence to it, but it doesn't. It also doesn't smell young. So I guess they found some kind of nice balance between the age and the proof. You know what I mean? So, yeah. I don't know. You had a sip of it.
Yeah, I just took a sip.
What do you think?
I'm just curious to see what you have to say about it, because I have very strong opinions on this one. Yep, you're making the face.
It starts out rough. Mm-hmm. It starts rough, man. It's not great up front.
Yeah.
It finishes better than it starts, for sure.
It does, yes.
No hug. It's 92.6 proof. I wasn't expecting it to, you know, hug me all the way down. Never mind.
Whoa.
Yep. But it's fine. It's so overly okay.
So here's the problem I have with it. I feel like every note that I don't care for in rye is present here.
Licorice?
Yeah. Is there. So you got the anise in there. You've got a lot of like kind of pickling spice kind of thing going on. It's a little minty, really earthy. That's the thing, though. All of it is done very well. None of it is like hits you over the head. It's very like hinting at it notes. This is just going to be for somebody that enjoys those notes. A lot of tea in there.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like a black tea.
Absolutely. It's very Earl Grey.
Yeah. But I don't like any of it.
I don't either.
I don't.
Again, I like the finish. I think the finish is really where it starts to shine.
Yeah.
But that front half of the palate, that's bad. This is not for me at all.
I don't think it is bad. I think it's bad. I think it's very good. I think the problem is it's just not for me. Like all the all the notes on here are actually really good notes. It's just not for not for Swan kind of notes.
Not for Barry either.
Yeah.
I mean, it's fine if you like this. It's just personally absolutely not.
I think this would be good for somebody that was coming off of like a stronger, maybe like peaty or scotch that wanted to introduce themselves to rye.
Oh yeah.
Because, you know, they're talking about notes of iodine and sadness and just all sorts of stuff.
Bagpipe music?
Yeah. And I mean, this does have that kind of earthiness quality you get off of something like that. And I don't know. It's missing the malt heaviness. There's like next to no malt influence in this. But as far as just being in that same vein of like earthiness, I get it, you know? It's just not my thing.
Do we know the mash bill?
I don't know.
Pulling up the wrong thing. I gotta find out. Yeah, mash bill undisclosed. That's a shame, because I really would have... Oh, wait. Maybe our friends over at Modern Thirst have an approximation of what it actually is. They are saying... No, that can't be right. Because they've got a higher corn content than they do rye. Oh, no, never mind. It's just wrong altogether. Because they'd have... Well, it says unknown. So... I was wrong. It does use a number 4 char, though. So,
all right.
This is a shocker. look, I don't want to drink any more of this. But I can understand why somebody would. I'm not a scotch drinker. I have scotches that I like. I have single malts that I really like. But at the end of the day, it's not what I reach for.
Yeah.
That's just how it is.
I agree.
So I can't say that I want any more of this.
I think the only downside I really have for this, outside of it's not for me, is I don't feel like the notes that I gave would be ones I would want to go together.
No.
But I also don't know if I want caramel on, like, oranges, and sometimes I get citrus and caramel.
That's what I'm picking up right now.
But, like, on bourbons, and I'm like, oh, yes, it's really good, you know?
Yeah, but this is like a caramel-covered orange.
Yeah.
Seriously, that's what I'm dealing with right now in terms of flavors.
I think it needs the extra proof to be redeeming. This kind of drinks to me like somebody's watered down something.
I 100% agree.
Yeah, and I think that the notes that we're getting, they need to be for that certain person. They did not pick one that's appealing to a market. Nope. They picked one that's appealing to somebody.
Well, and I mean, you are trying to appeal to a certain market. Once it's all said and done.
Yeah, and I do want to try this in a cocktail, because I feel like if you, you know, messed with it and gave it some sugariness, it might be okay.
Some kind of Earl Grey cocktail, maybe?
Yeah. Like a London Fog with alcohol. Yeah.
Is that a thing? It's got to be a thing.
Yeah, probably.
Let's see if it's a thing.
Probably cream-based liqueur inside of black tea.
Alcoholic London Fog. London Fog cocktail recipe.
Yeah, it's probably just like vanilla liqueur.
4-star user rating, 2.5 stars from this website. Nah, it's got gin.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
But either way, I think it begs to be tried in a cocktail to maybe lighten up some of these heavier notes that we're not really caring for.
For sure. Anyway. Do you want to go ahead and review this one and then give the review for the 114?
Yeah, yeah. What's the price on this one?
Oh, let's look it up. Since this was a gift, I have no idea.
Yeah. What are you feeling on the nose?
The nose I don't mind that much. I think it doesn't line up with the palate. But I don't think that takes away from its quality. I'm going to give it a 3.
Yeah.
Which is not good, a good indicator for what I'm going to give the palate here.
Me as well. I actually gave it a 3.5.
Holy moly, $75 a bottle.
Yeah, I actually really enjoy the nose. I think the nose is good.
Yeah.
That being said, the palate, I gave a 2.
No, I'm going to give the palate a 1.5. I just don't like it. And I'm sorry. It's been a while since I've been just fully, like, overly influenced by my preference on one of these and whether or not I just am, like, full on, like, no, I don't want
to
drink this.
That is what you're here to do, man.
I know. I'm not going to try to beat around the bush about it, but I just don't want to drink this.
No.
I really don't. Like, I can't even think of an instance. Like, there are some things that, okay, maybe this would fall into that category of, like, I put it away in the cabinet and after a while come back to it and go, oh, this is not exactly how I remember it. And that's happened from time to time. But not for me.
I left it in a glass for about half an hour to try that out yesterday.
Wow.
And Still not great.
Didn't change?
Mm-mm.
Yeah. That's,
not much change at all.
That's fair. Finish, I like less the more I have it. I'm probably going to give it a 2.
Okay, yeah.
It like, that first time that I had it, I thought it was pretty good, but it's just not... It's just not a great... It's not a great finish.
It's not. It's
We're splitting
really
this
not.
One up too, aren't we?
What is it?
We're splitting this bottle up too?
Yes.
Yeah, you take half of this home with you. I'll let you take the fancy looking bottle too.
Okay.
So thanks. I don't have to look at it and get angry and say, why are you not old Granddad 114?
Yeah. Thanks, buddy. Finish I gave a 2 as well. I mean, same reasons, man. Like,
yeah.
I want the higher proof. I want it to be worth it. I want it to, you know, just, I don't know, shine through somewhere other than the nose, and it just doesn't.
Yeah. $75 a bottle. 2.
2.
hard 2 for me.
Yeah.
I mean, it's, this does not have the quality to back up the price point. I'm shocked. I am truly, truly shocked at how expensive this is based on its just overall quality. I just don't get it. I really just don't get it. I don't know. That gave me a final score of 8.5 out of 20. Oh, yeah, we didn't actually tell people what our review system is.
9.5.
Nose, palate, finish, and price. Each category is out of 5. We total it up for a score out of 20.
Boom.
So 8.5 out of 20. That's what I gave it. You gave it 9.5.
9.5, yeah.
I'm ready to move on to this 114 proof.
You know, I was expecting you to not enjoy it, but I didn't know you were going to be so...
You didn't think
so...
I was going to have the visceral reaction to it?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you even made a face when you drank it for the first
75
time.
75 bucks a bottle? Go buy Booker's instead.
Yeah.
Go hunt down some Elijah Craig Barrel Proof.
Go get 2 rare breeds.
Get 2 rare breeds is exactly what I was about to say next. It's not wallet friendly, and it's not palate friendly.
No. No, it's not.
Anyway, how about this 4-year-old 114 proof?
How about it?
It smells better.
It does. Yeah.
I don't know if it smells significantly better, though.
I actually enjoy the nose on the last one just as much as I do this one.
Yeah.
This one's more like sweet, though.
Yeah, I think that I'm finding maybe about the same amount of notes on the nose on this one. But overall, I think it's kind of the same experience.
See, I disagree. I feel like I'm getting a lot of sweetness on this one I didn't get on the last one.
Well, I just mean experience-wise, like, I'm still dissecting about as much as I was.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's fair. It is different stuff, though. This one, the first one was very, like, you pointed out, honeysuckle, dusty corn, just kind of almost musty.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, no, this is the reboot version.
Yeah, this is the one that's like, okay, we use the natural sugar, now we're going full corn syrup. Like,
no, this is, Andrew Garfield didn't work out, so we're going to bring in a younger actor to play Spider-Man.
I actually enjoy this one quite a bit.
Yeah, I like it. I like it a lot. I definitely like it better than the first one. Yeah, even going back just a little bit, the nose on the 11-year smells so much more watered down. And in some ways, I mean, it's got to be because of the proof.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not barrel strength at 92.6 proof. There's no way. But it has that quality of adding water to achieve a certain profile. This just reads more full on the nose. You already took a sip of it. What do you think about the palate?
I actually really like it. It's hard to believe it's the same stock.
That is leaps and bounds better.
Yeah.
That is... That's Frosted Flakes.
It's Frosted Flakes. Have you ever had sorghum?
Yeah. Absolutely.
That's in there for sure.
There's a... We lost him.
It's a big jump from the last one.
It really is.
Oh, man.
But it's much more baking spicy. I was wondering what that was.
Yeah.
That was really strange. I thought that somebody was knocking on the garage door.
I know. No, it's very baking spicy. They wanted something sweeter. I think this would be really cool to do some cocktail bases with.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah. That being said, I don't think there's a rye that I would compare it to. I think Rittenhouse is in a different field. I think
the old faux rye is too.
Yeah, I think rare breed rye is
even 101 rye.
Yeah,
I think this is just kind of its own thing.
Yeah, no, it's its own thing. I can't really think of much that I would compare this to.
It does kind of remind me, and I mean, it makes sense because it's the same distillery, but the 90 proof pre-prohibition style rye from Jim Beam.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair.
It doesn't read like Knob Creek rye.
No, it doesn't. It does not.
And I think that's just the fact that it's younger.
Yeah.
But, it's only a proof point away from the single barrels. And the single barrels are typically 6 or 7 years old.
I think it's the same proof as Pikesville, too.
Yeah, it is 114.
And it's...
Yeah.
I think Pikesville just kills this.
I think so, too. But if you're going for value, I think this is where you go with it. Because I think...
I don't know the price on it.
It's $30.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, I can get behind that.
I think that it will hold up well in a cocktail. It stands just fine on its own. And it just... It's just good. It's so much more solid than a product that is more than twice its price. But is more than half its age.
Yeah.
And you're right. It's crazy that this is the same stock.
It is, yeah. And it's a great testament that age is not everything. Because there's so many people that, especially with Knob Creek picks, will come in and be like, just a 9-year pick. I don't really want that.
Hey, that 10-year pick, though. See No Evil?
Mm-hmm. It's good stuff.
It's my bread and butter right now.
Yeah.
I really want to do a Knob Creek pick for the show.
Me too, man.
That, like, between that and Russell's, I mean, that's where I want us to...
It's where you want to get to.
...go next. Yeah. And we were talking kind of arbitrarily with Adam about aging beer in the new Riff barrel. But, aging beer in a 12-year-old Knob Creek barrel? I'd be in heaven. Even if it's just Miller High Life.
But, Dad, it's the champagne of beers.
It's the champagne of beers, Dad.
You don't hate champagne, son.
Can you?
You probably shouldn't.
I mean, you could probably age it and then... add the carbonation afterwards.
Sure.
I mean, it doesn't go... Never mind. This is a conversation for a different time. Remind me to tell you a story about Miller High Life after we're done recording as well. I think the one thing we haven't really talked about with this is the finish.
The finish? Let's see.
Yeah, let's go back for another set.
Finish is short.
It is. It's definitely more of a hug than the 11-year-old, though.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. This is nice. I feel like it doesn't need a very sugary thing to go with it, though. I feel like if you had
something
sugary
not.
With it, it would just drown it out.
Yeah, it needs a counterbalance. It needs something more savory.
Yeah.
If you were looking to pair it. I don't think that an old-fashioned is the right cocktail for this. Mm-hmm. I think that you've got to go more Manhattan-y, or even, I don't know, there aren't a whole lot of savory cocktails. I feel like savory cocktails are saved for, you know, when you've had a few too many and you're just experimenting. It's like, hey, I'm going to throw a pretzel twist in the glass. Rim it with some Spam. We've done that. I've
Oh no.
I think I've told that story on Patreon. I'll regale you with it after we're done recording.
Okay.
It's not the time for it, but anyway. overall, I think it's significantly better than the 11 year is.
Yeah. So you want to go ahead and start giving it some?
I think we should. Yeah. What are you going to give it on the nose?
3.5.
I'm going to give it a 3.5 as well, actually. Yeah. Because I do enjoy it more than I did the 11 year. But I do think that the base experience is still there, which is what I was saying earlier, that you're still kind of going through the same paces of picking it apart and finding complexity and depth.
Yeah.
But it's just got a little bit something extra.
It does. Also, I'm just a sucker for anything with a cereal nose, to be honest with you.
I am
especially
too.
Coming from black tea. Huh. Yeah, it's just solid.
Yeah. Palate.
3.5.
I'm going to give it a 3.
See, I like the palate quite a bit.
I do too. I'm not disparaging its quality, mm-hmm. but I think that the nose is one of the more inviting parts of it.
That's fair. I think that holds true for the previous one as well.
Yeah. Finish, though, I think finish is definitely the weakest point here. And that being said, I mean, it's not bad. It's not bad by any means, but I'm going to give it a 2.5.
I'm going to give it a 3.
Okay.
I think it's good. I don't expect much out of it, to be
honest. Yeah, I don't really either.
For a 4-year, but I mean, I think it's fine. I think it's also kind of underrated how much it doesn't drink like the proof.
No, it definitely doesn't.
I mean, I know I coughed, but like, once it gives you that first hug or whatever, but
that was
like,
just because you were going from 92.6 to 114.
But honestly, you get acclimated to this, you'd see yourself halfway through a bottle and you'd be like, oh, I'm sitting in the couch a little extra deep tonight. Like,
Am I slouching or is the TV?
Yeah. I mean, it sneaks up on you. It legitimately drinks like 100, 105.
I agree.
And that for the finish is just not much there, but no. It's good. It's just simple and nice and easy.
Well, that's why I went very middle of the road with 2.5.
Yeah.
And with the price at $30.
Four.
Yeah. Yeah. A hard four for me, man. There's no way around it. I think that this is, especially if you're looking at other ryes in this price point, there's not anything with this proof. And really, not anything with this level of quality.
No.
I am happy, by the way, that we got the lower proof one out of the way first. I think I probably would have given it an even lower score had we waited to review it second. Mm-hmm. But yeah, 4 for sure on the price. That puts me at a 13 out of 20.
Yeah, I think that puts me at a 14. Yeah. So
I think it's, yeah. Yeah, yeah. I'm at 13 out of 20.
So a full 4.5 points higher than the previous one.
It's a recommend. I mean, really, if once this becomes nationally available, mm-hmm. I think that it's going to take people by surprise, and I think that it's going to reach a wider audience than it definitely would have in Ohio and Pennsylvania. But it's good, man. It's really, really good.
It is. I think this is going to be a phenomenal base for blending.
Oh, heck yes.
Yes.
If you can find something that has those really big top notes in a rye whiskey, and I'm talking like a Thomas H. Handy or a Sazerac 18 or something like that, mm-hmm. that is just super full-bodied and got a lot of depth to it, it's going to really balance out well by adding in something that's younger, but still has the proof to it.
Mm-hmm.
So I totally agree with you. I would even like to see what Dixon would do with this.
I do too. I think it would be kind of fun to take a bunch of regular bourbons, just everyday sippers, and blend it 50-50.
Yep.
And then just be like, all right, Dixon, we're doing a flight. just let them go at it. And tear it to pieces, man. Really tear it to pieces.
Because
there's some of the best bourbons in the world. If you blend it, it wasn't meant for that. No. You could go get George C. Stagg and blend it with this and literally just hand it to him. And he might go, this is disgusting, Perry. What were you thinking?
And he's said all but that before.
Yeah.
Too, with me. So, yeah. Save your money. Buy the one that's younger but higher proof. Forget that other stuff. Have you tried blending the two of them together yet?
No.
In true, this is my bourbon podcast fashion.
You go ahead.
I'm going to see if there's anything.
It's usually my job.
Yeah. Well, you usually pour less than I do, too. Oh, that actually smells really savory. It smells like a honey-baked ham.
Oh, okay. Cool.
I'm going to let it sit for a little bit while we transition. But I would like to watch you keep making that face while you drink the 11-year-old.
Ooh.
I would like to, though, transition into tips and bits.
Tips and bits.
You normally do the little hand rub there, getting all excited about it.
Yeah.
But I thought I had something. Maybe I do. I don't know. What do you have for tips and bits this week, Swan?
Tips and bits.
We recommend things that aren't always bourbon related.
This week's going to be bourbon related.
Oh, okay.
Yes. Craft distilleries.
Freaking yes.
Okay. So a lot of the ones that have come out, I feel like I kind of talked about how we're the class structure earlier about some other stuff. I think we're starting to see that a little more now with some other stuff as far as bourbon goes. And definitely distilleries, one of them. So, like, Castle and Key and, you know, let's see, Wilderness Trail and New Riff, they're at that level of kind of established now where it's just like people are going to know about them. They're gonna know. But there's some new ones that I've been trying. I tried Lost Monarch the other day. Which is by Redwood Empire.
Mm-hmm.
Very good stuff. That's out of California. There's some stuff, you know, here local in Kentucky. There's just find somebody in your area and give them a try.
Yeah.
I mean, just to point somebody out in the community, Joseph Brazo is a humongous, you know, ambassador for a craft distillery next to him. And
it's Woodinville.
Woodinville, yes. Yeah. And Woodinville has literally been popping up everywhere recently. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
I honestly think we need more of that. I would love to be able to go to, with the exception of Hawaii, I'm sorry, Don, go to the shelf and find something from all 50 states and try it out.
Yeah.
I mean, there's ones that have been blowing up recently, Smoke Wagon.
Oh, yeah.
I don't care if you MGP blend, if you mix in your own product. As long as you're honest about it and you're proud of the work you put out, I'd love to see it on the shelf somewhere.
I agree.
And I just think there needs to be more local support because I have seen so many people, especially on Facebook, and I've had so many messages, not from a lot of the people that listen to the show, but people that know me just in real life, like before the show. It's just like, hey, I'm looking for Blanton's. Where do I find it? Good luck.
Yeah.
I mean, that's fine. Pick them up something from a craft distillery. Walk in, just see, hey, what's got a cool label? Just support them. I mean, it's the same thing with the restaurant industry, man. They live and die on that tourism, and they're just not getting it right now. So you got to support them elsewhere. I mean, it's buy a bottle. That's so easy to do.
I don't know. I can't remember. I don't think I've seen you since it came out. But the I think I've talked about them with you before, but one of my favorite comedy groups from Australia, Auntie Donna, they have a Netflix show now. It's called Auntie Donna's Big Old House of Fun. It's 6 episodes. It's 20 minutes a piece. It's an easy, bingeable watch. It's the most bizarre sketch humor that you could find, but I love it so much. It's a great introduction to who they are as a group. Like, they have... Okay. There's this one sketch, and it's in the show. And they've been doing it live for a few years. And it's called a parody of the television show Ellen. And I'll play it for you after we're done, because I want you to hear how funny this is, and it's so bizarre and out there. But I love what these guys do. They're hilarious. They're just, for so long, have been like small time comedians in this small group who have had like a very loyal fan base. Mm-hmm. But they got discovered, quote unquote, by Ed Helms, who wound up executive producing the show for them.
I love Ed Helms.
And he makes an appearance in it,
yeah,
too, along with Scott Aukerman from Comedy Bang Bang. He's been in a bunch of stuff. I don't know if you really know who he is, but he's just hilarious. I mean, he's had a podcast probably about three times as long as we have.
Alrighty.
Yeah. It's very, very funny. It's good stuff. But I think you guys should go and check that out. I might have mentioned this last week, but there's a podcast series that I've been listening to as well called, the first season was called Finding Drago or Drago. And it's this kind of investigative comedy series. I mean, it's real life. Like, they're actually doing like an investigative work. But there's a kind of a humorous side to it. And then the second season is called Finding Desperado. And I love these shows so much. And like, I came to Finding Drago late, and so I was able to binge it. And now I'm waiting week to week with Finding Desperado, and I don't like it because I want to have everything dropped on me all at once, so I can just find the end of the mystery. But they're very, very good stories. Really, really easy listening stories too, that are just intriguing and fun and inconsequential, I would say. So that's Tips and Bits. Thank you all so much for listening to this week's episode. I'm super excited to get to review Castle and Keys Rye next
week. Me too. Rye twice in a row, man.
Two ryes. Yeah, that's right.
Sorry, it's kind of that kind of year, you know?
It is.
It's getting cold.
It's like, who's mad about it?
Yeah. Rye, cold, it goes together.
Hey, Swan, where can people find you on social media?
I'm at SwanTBF on Instagram.
And I am at PRaider1492 on all social media channels. You can find the show itself at My Bourbon Pod on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. You can leave us a 5-star rating and review on the iTunes podcast app or wherever you listen to the show, if such a thing exists. And we'll actually read out that review here on air. No new review this week, Swan. I got to read the last review that we got to you once we're done, because it's good stuff. Really like it. You can find all of our apparel and merchandise at bourbonshop.threadless.com. You can send questions or comments to thisismybourbonshop@gmail.com. We like having a little mailbag segment every now and then on the show. What else do we do? Our Movember charity campaign is actually still going. I'm going to let that go until the end of the year, or at least until we hit our goal of $500. We're at $275 right now. I think we can do it.
Yeah.
We can make that happen. What else do we do here with the show, Swan? We have our Facebook group at facebook.com. Search for This Is My Bourbon Group and a couple questions to make sure that you are who you say you are, and we get to have a really fun time together. That's where we ask all our questions, or ask for a call for questions, rather, for the pregame chats, where that's over on patreon.com. We'll talk about that in just a second. I also go live every Thursday evening at 8 o'clock p.m. on youtube.com/thisismybourbonpodcast. Really fun time, hashtag Snuffy Squad. And that's another really cool way for you to help support the show. And the biggest way, of course, is at patreon.com/mybourbonpodcast for as little as $1 a month. For as little as $5 a month, you get bonus content like the pregame chats. After the first of the year, the last call is going to get started up again as well. I've got ideas. Yeah. I'm really, 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 really pumped for that. And that is one of the biggest ways, as we said at the top of the show, for you to support the show. And it really does mean a lot, all those folks who help us out month to month, week to week, day to day. You guys are the best. We really appreciate it. We wouldn't have been able to continue doing the show without you guys. And we really do hope to see some new folks over there soon, especially as we introduce the barrel pick option as well, which is going to be something new, something exciting for us, because we want to do our own barrel picks on our own. And we're very appreciative, of course, to the Nashville Bourbon Society, but we want to do stuff just for you guys. So check all that out. Patreon.com/My Bourbon Podcast. That's it for episode 155 of This Is My Bourbon Podcast. Next week, as we said, Castle & Key's first official whiskey release, a rye whiskey. Are you pumped?
I'm very pumped, man.
You're getting sleepy, it looks like.
I am. I also just want to I want to hold that bottle, because I feel like it's got some weight to it, and I'm going to get more excited when I finally get a hold of it.
Yeah. Well, until Swan gets to hold that bottle next week, I'm Barry.
I'm Swan.
And this is My Bourbon Podcast.